Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites, and God sent Jesus to deliver the world. Looking back at these two deliverers, we see a ton of similarities between the two. Theologically, we call this a type, and as an area of study, we call it typology. If you begin with the infancy, we see that Moses' life is in danger right from his very birth. A new Pharaoh had come to power, possibly even a new dynasty and a change of governments entirely. And this new power base did not include the Jews, and so slavery then quickly ensued. Pharaoh ordered all the newborn sons of the Israelites to be thrown into the Nile. It was sort of a slow burn ethnocide of purging of the nation. But God had a plan for Moses. So working through Moses' mother, the Lord God preserved the life of his servant Moses. Fast forward to Jesus, already in Jesus' infancy, we see again that the Christ child's life is in danger almost immediately, and for the very same reason, personal royal power of the guy who thought he was in charge. When King Herod heard that some believed that a Messiah had been born, he feared that any such newborn king would be a threat to his rule and his prestige. So he ordered that all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, to be killed. And of course, God had a profoundly important plan for this Christ child. So in love and mercy, he worked through Jesus' mother Mary and his father figure Joseph to preserve the life of Jesus. To save the infant Jesus, they took him into Egypt, and they stayed there until it was safe, and those who had tried to take the life of the deliverer had died themselves. The parallels are pretty prominent. Yet they're also, both of these are completely, practically different from everybody else's nativity story in both the New and the Old Testament. It is impossible to not see the hand of God at work in these. The similarities are so close in some ways. This is not by chance. You also see God's fingerprints in Moses and in Jesus' mission. You see, Moses was a very unlikely liberator. He was raised in the palace, raised in Pharaoh's house. He was a son of wealth and prestige. However, he had previously been rejected by both societies. He has been convicted as a murderer. He has been threatened by the Israelites themselves. He has been absent from Egypt for 40 years. Did I mention he was an old dude, by the way? About 80 years old at this point. Working in a second career field as a shepherd out in Midian somewhere. It's a little wonder when God called Moses to go and to save the Israelites, Moses was like, I'll pass. No, thank you. I'm not really the guy you're looking for. Now, Jesus is different, but he's also similar. You see, Israel had very definite understandings and expectations about what a Messiah ought to look like. Probably somebody from a very prominent Jewish family. Certainly somebody who would be widely known. Certainly somebody with strong connections and support of the priesthood. Enter Jesus stage right. Not at all what anybody was looking for. A carpenter raised way outside. This is not even outside in the suburbs. I mean, he's born in the sticks of Israel. Galilee of the Gentiles, they called it. Hailing from that lowly town of Nazareth, completely unknown to the religious and the ruling elites, and completely uninterested in seeking any of their seals of approval. On top of all that, the circumstances of Jesus' birth were rumored to be a little scandalous. To say that Jesus seemed an unlikely Messiah kind of is an understatement. But God's choice of Moses, as well as God's sending of his son, both flew in the face of expectations. The thing of it is that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. I mean, God works like this all the time in the Old Testament. One of my favorite is the shepherd boy David, whom God has called to be king over the entire nation of Israel. His dad, when the prophet went to go look for this soon-to-be king, dad forgot he was even there. Went through all the boys, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's it. And they're like, well, don't you got one in the shepherd field? Oh, yeah. So they go find that little one. God calling Paul to lead the New Testament church. Talk about an unlikely hero for the New Testament. I mean, Matthew's a tax collector. Mark writes one of our gospels, and he's homesick and abandons Paul in the middle of a mission trip. Fisherman? Only this God would choose somebody like Moses to lead Israel to freedom. Only this God would send someone like Jesus to redeem not just mankind, but all of mankind. And that brings us to another point of similarity between Moses and Jesus. As unlikely as they seemed for their mission, both of them proved absolutely faithful. Moses faithfully went to Pharaoh and spoke the words that God had given him to say. And then supported by signs and wonders that God worked through him. In the same way, Jesus faithfully taught and preached and reached out to the lost, supported by the testimonies and the miracles that he did, that people would know that he was telling the truth. Moses and Jesus were both repeatedly rejected, especially when they brought the clear word of the gospel to the people. Both were steadfast in their service. Both of them were faithful unto the very end. In Jesus' case, that faithfulness takes him all the way to the cross of Calvary. And that raises the most important parallel between these two deliverers, that through them, God's plans were brought to completion. God's promises were fulfilled. And God indeed set his people free. Moses leads his people out of bondage in Egypt, and Christ frees us from the chains of sin and death and hell. Both of those missions are very similar, but they're also very different. Jesus and Moses are chosen by God to set his people free, but their response is about as different as day and night. As we spoke earlier, Moses is like, no, I'm not going. He is a resistant deliverer. He only goes to Pharaoh reluctantly because he really doesn't have a choice. Jesus, on the other hand, is a willing redeemer. He embraces his mission of saving us, knowing all along what it's actually going to cost him in the long run. Another fundamental difference is Moses himself needed a deliverer. While he was not personally a slave in Egypt, he did still need redemption, just like everybody else, because he was a sinner, just like all of the rest of mankind. He too was in chains to sin and death, was a sinner, and was in need of a redeemer. Christ, on the other hand, needed no redeemer. Although he was tempted in every way as we are, he remained without sin. He had no need for a savior from sin. He had no, need of a redemption from the wages of sin, which is death. This points to another vital difference. The greater deliverer accomplished the far greater deliverance. When God worked through Moses, he set his people free from slavery in Egypt, but our Lord redeemed us from sin, death, and hell. Moses and Jesus are a lot alike, and in some very important ways. But they're also different in some dramatically important ways. Again, this is what we call typology, that God continues to work the same way so that we can see how he works over time. In faithful Moses, God is giving his people a partial look at things to come. In Israel's liberation, God is foreshadowing their fuller redemption. God is giving his people a glimpse of how he's going to utterly fulfill those grander promises. So too, he was giving them some important pointers for what to look for in a Savior. And this shouldn't surprise us. Just as Moses is both similar and vastly different from Jesus, the same is true for us. We are a lot like Jesus, but he's very different than we are. Because like Jesus, we are all human, right? Anyone not human? We are all truly human, but unlike Jesus, Jesus is also truly God. Like us, Jesus experienced sorrows and pains and tribulation of life in a fallen world, but unlike us, he remained sinless throughout the entire ordeal. And like us, Jesus died. But unlike us, he died not because of his own sins, but he died because of ours. So like him, we now live forever. But unlike him, this is not because of our own merit, it's because of his. It's because of his mercy, because of his goodness, because of his grace given to us. Because he is like us, but also radically different, which is extraordinary good news for us because we needed deliverance. We needed a redeemer and a deliverer who was far greater than anything Moses could have accomplished. And God provided that which we needed the most. He provided a deliverer and a redeemer, but not just any old deliverer, not just any old redeemer. He gave unto us a perfect one, a new Moses, but vastly better. A savior from sin, death, and the very fires and powers of hell itself. In Jesus' name, we give thanks for that great redeemer. Amen.